We're very grateful at BBC to have a number of your students as currently enrolled in our school and attending, and many of them becoming real leaders on our campus. And so we're very, very grateful for that partnership we have with you. And also, Pastor Pine teaches at our seminary and is involved in the worship program there. And so we're very, very grateful for that as well. Well, we're going to talk about the essentials of biblical higher education. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. We're going to focus on this book for our thoughts in the Bible teaching part of our time together. And as we think about this, I want to really help you understand that biblical higher education is very distinctive from other kinds of higher education. And so that you can understand the value of that and the importance of that as you think about your own education or as you're making decisions about higher education, the distinctives and the values that really drive that. And the first one that I want us to focus on as we think about this is the centrality of Christ in worship and worldview. And in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, beginning at verse 13, has one of the great Christ-centered, doctrinal, but worshipful passages in the entire Bible. I'm going to just read it for you, and this ought to help set our hearts attune for everything that's going to happen this morning as we glorify Christ. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. We've been purchased back from the slave market of sin through His blood, and we have the forgiveness of sin. God has canceled the debt that we owed. And He that is Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That is, He is the ultimate revelation, self-disclosure of God. And He is the firstborn, literally the first cause of all creation. And it goes on to unfold that. For by Him, all things were created that are in heaven. All the stars and galaxies, everything on earth, the land, the sea, plant life, animals, fish, birds, everything, and human beings. He's created everything on earth. Everything visible, everything you can see, everything invisible, everything you can't see. And then he goes on to say whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And many Bible scholars believe he's talking here about angelic levels of authority. He created them all. And all things were created through Him, and all things were created, watch this, for Him. Everything He created is for His glory. Everything He created is unto Him. And he goes on to tell us that He is before all things. He is the Ancient of Days, no beginning. He is the I Am that I am. And in Him, all things consist. Not only did He create everything, but He sustains everything. Scientists wonder what holds the atom together. Christ does. What holds the universe in place? Christ does. He is the one who's the sustainer of everything that He creates. Paul said in another place, in Him we live and move and have our being. And then he goes on to say, He is the head of the body, the church. Your head not only gives guidance and direction to your body, it is the control of everything that you are. And Christ is the head of the church, His body. So now he goes on from talking about the original creation to the new creation and saying this is all about Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who was the beginning of that church. He is the firstborn from the dead in His resurrection. And then note this, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It is the eternal plan of God. It is the designer. It is the design of God in creation and in the church that Jesus Christ would have the first and central and priority place, that He would have the preeminence. That is the plan of God. And by the way, if we don't agree with that plan, God's not going to change His mind. God delights in the preeminence of His Son. And He wants all of creation and all of the church to honor and glorify the Son, that He would have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. That is, all the fullness of the Godhead. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And He goes on then to describe how we were once alienated and now we've been reconciled. I think one of the core essentials of biblical higher education is focusing on the centrality of Jesus Christ in worship. That's why on our campus, we have chapel every single day. Every Monday, I have the delight, and it is a great privilege to be able to speak to our students, to unfold the Word of God. This year, we're going through a series in the Gospels. But why do we do that? Because every day, we want to say what God said in the Old Testament when He arranged the camp of Israel in the book of Numbers, and He put the tabernacle right in the middle where the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was. God was declaring, I am to be central in your life. My glory is to be central in everything you are and everything you do. And in chapel, we're reminding ourselves that He must increase and we must decrease, that for us to live is Christ, that Christ is central. But also in worldview. In this passage we just read, there are some essentials to our worldview. What is worldview? That's just another word for philosophy. And everyone is not a philosopher, but everyone has a philosophy. Not everyone thinks deeply about their belief system, but everyone has one. And your philosophy answers the big questions of life. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What's the problem in the world and the brokenness we see? What's the solution to that and the ultimate end of mankind? Those are the questions that people have asked through the ages. But a Christian worldview answers these questions this way. We are here because God created us in His image. And Jesus Christ is the Creator. We were created by Him and for Him. And that the brokenness we see in the world is a brokenness caused by sin. By man's rebellion against God, declaring himself independent and autonomous from his Creator. And that rebellion led to brokenness and the fall and the curse. And that every time we see the expressions of that brokenness, whether in nature or in individual lives, in crime and in the brokenness we sense within ourselves, it is because of sin. It is because of man's rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden and in individual lives. And the only solution to that, that alienation, that brokenness that leads to an inner brokenness, brokenness in relationships, brokenness in our world, because of sin and alienation from God, the only solution to that is in Jesus Christ, who redeemed and provides forgiveness and reconciliation through His death on the cross. I want you to know, I did not grow up in a church like this where the Bible was taught. I was 18 years old when I first came into a church like this. And I want you to know my entire worldview changed. I came to Christ at 12 years old at a camp, but I hadn't learned to think biblically. And as I began to dig into the Word of God, God radically changed, turned my world upside down when I realized God created me in His glory. My brokenness was because of sin, and the only hope for reconciliation and change is Jesus Christ. And that God ultimately has a plan, not only for the individual and for the church, but for the entire world, where He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And Christ is going to come back and set up His kingdom. And all of the brokenness and all of the pain and all of the wars and all of the crime, it's all going to be gone. And we believe that those are the contours of a Christian worldview. And that's essential. Frankly, every place anybody will go for higher education, they're going to get a worldview. Every faculty member has one, and they're going to communicate it. I think it's absolutely important, it's particularly for young adults who are really beginning to shape their own belief system, that they have the opportunity to learn to think biblically. Because they will be shaped by faculty. They will be shaped by that environment. It will affect who they are and who they become. Let me give you the second part of this. Wisdom from Christ for discernment and life. Wisdom. I want you to back up a little bit. Paul prays beginning at verse 9. And he said, for this reason also, since the day you heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you. And here's his prayer request. To ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and then increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to notice what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I'm praying for you believers in Colossae that as you develop this biblical worldview, that you would be filled with knowledge and understanding and wisdom from God. That you would learn to think God's thoughts. I was just with our couple of our grandsons over in Grand Rapids. We had a pizza party over there with them on Friday night. And as we're talking together, one of our grandsons that's 12 and another one that's 11. And I said, guys, I want to know if you'll take a challenge from your grandfather. What's that, Grandpa? I want to know if you'll read the book of Proverbs in the next 31 days, a chapter a day, and then choose a verse, and if you'll be accountable to me to do that. And they said they would do it. And I said, the reason I want you to do that is I want you to develop wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is thinking God's thoughts so that you can choose God's paths and live skillfully. And that's what Paul's praying here. But where does that wisdom come from? It comes from Christ. It comes from Christ. Look in chapter 2, where Paul is talking about about Christ. And he tells us in chapter 2, verse 3, that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want to tell you, the greatest wisdom that you can have is the wisdom that is found in the Word of God that centers on the person of Jesus Christ. It is the wisdom that is the timeless truth of Scripture inspired by God to be able to help us to think God's thoughts. One of the great things about learning to think biblically is I recognize that God has not called every young person into being a pastor or missionary, though I pray that God would call many, or to be a teacher or a biblical counselor. We have graduates who learn to think biblically who go on to other areas of life. For instance, one of our graduates applied for Harvard Law School and said, you know what, you pride yourself in diversity. Do you have any conservative Baptists there as students? And they didn't. He got in. He is now one of the leading men in America helping to protect the freedom of speech for Christians. Another one of our current students was just accepted in Columbia Medical College in New York City, one of the top medical schools in the world, with a BBC degree. Why? Learning to think opens up all kinds of opportunities. And in shaping the worldview, our students take science and they take World Civ and they take fine arts and they take literature. They have a fully developed college education. But with that, it's amazing. We have people that have gone into business. We have people that have gone into all kinds of opportunities, not only the 30 different programs that we have. Wisdom from Christ. Here's the next thing. Formation of Christ-likeness in character and in relationships. The formation of Christ-likeness. Look at chapter 3. Paul begins by talking about having our minds set on things that are above, things that are eternal. And then in verse 3, he begins to tell us how we need to put to death certain parts of our life. And he lists these different sins of fornication and uncleanness and passion and evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. And that the wrath of God comes upon us for that. In verse 8, he said, But you yourselves are to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. So Paul lists all of the things that we're to put off in the old man that was like Adam. And then in verse 10 he says, now put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there's neither Greek or Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, set apart to him and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do it. And then he says in verse 14, but above all these things, put on the ultimate Christian character quality as the outer garment. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Paul then begins to talk about relationships. I want you to notice that he begins to talk about the church and the relationships that we have within the body of Christ from verse 15 to 17. He talks to wives in verse 18 and husbands in verse 19. Children in verse 20 and fathers or parents in verse 21. He talks to bondservants or employees from verse 22 to the end of the chapter and then to masters or employers. It's very interesting to me that Paul in this part of Colossians talks about character and then he talks about relationships. And biblical higher education is very interested in the formation of character, of Christ's likeness and character, and the formation of Christ-centered relationships. Let me just use this illustration. When I was a boy at 14 years old, we had moved from Connecticut to upstate New York and to a very small farming community. And one of the things I'm very, very grateful for in my life is I had the opportunity to work on a dairy farm through my teen years. Now, you may say, I'm glad I didn't. Well, I want you to know you really missed out. You really missed out. And not only did it develop in me a work ethic and a great appreciation for God and creation, but it's just some great memories that I have of those years. But as I was dating the young lady that was now my wife, I would get up in the morning and we would milk at 4:30. We'd work in the barn and clean everything that the cows had done to the barn. We'd go out in the field and work and sweat, and then we'd be up in the hay mound sweating some more, and then we'd milk a second time. By the end of the day, you can imagine how my clothes would look and how I would smell. I found that my girlfriend really appreciated me taking a shower and changing my clothes before I went out with her. She really appreciated that, of putting off those garments and putting on something different. I want you to know that my Christian life has been an ongoing process of doing that, of putting off the old man and putting on Christ-likeness, and having that affect every relationship in my life. One of the things I've learned about college students is they already are characters. I can tell you some stories about that. But we're trying to develop character. Help them to see the lifelong, continual process of being conformed to the image of Christ and having that affect every relationship in their life. That's part of biblical higher education. Here's the next thing. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. The word of Christ indwelling and overflowing. Let the word of Christ dwell. That word literally means let it be at home. Let it take up residence in you, inside you. Not on the shelf, but in your mind, in your heart, in your will, and in your life. Let the word of Christ take up residence in you. And then he says, richly. The word literally means overflowing, like David's cup in the 23rd Psalm. There's just the fullness of the word of God so filling your mind, so filling your heart that it overflows. Sort of like Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I want to be so full of the Bible that when someone cuts me, I bleed biblean. That was what he was saying. I want the word of God to so fill my heart and mind that it controls everything I say and do. That's why, without apology, folks, at our college, graduate school, and seminary, every student majors in the Bible, as well as their particular ministry career. Every student learns how to study the Bible inductively themselves, how to observe the text, interpret the Bible, and to apply it to their life so that they can learn to think. Every student takes a sequence of theology and biblical studies. That is a third of our curriculum of learning to do that, because that is the foundation of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom for us. And I want you to know, one of the delightful things is to see a senior get their degree and know that they have come to their own personal convictions that are rooted like a tree in the Word of God. And the rest of their life, they're going to build on that education. They've learned to think and to study the Word of God. And God's Word has become in them a rich part of that. I want to tell you, that is one of the great delights, because it changes everything about them and the way that they approach life. And the next one, the ministry for Christ in the church in the world. Paul in chapter 2 talks to these believers about his ministry in their life. And look with me in chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and all those in Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I say this lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness in your faith. And as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. In this and many other passages in Colossians, we could see, you get the heart of the Apostle Paul, that his life was focused on Christ and his relationship with God, but he was very concerned about ministering to people. The Lord Jesus in the Great Commandment said it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, but also to love others. And we want, in biblical higher education, it's very, very important that we help students understand that they're not the center of the universe. that Christ does. And that when Christ takes captive a person's life and they're living joyfully under the lordship of Christ, they begin to live a life of influence on purpose to impact people. So every one of our students has to have at least 7 out of 8 semesters of ministry credit, where they're out in local churches, not only attending, but serving, where they're impacting the lives of people and making a difference for Jesus Christ. We want them to be able to discover their spiritual gifts and how to use them. We want them to learn how to function as a part of a ministry team so that they can serve God. And as they do that, that they can go out around the world and make a difference. One of my great joys in my travel for the school is I get a chance to see our graduates doing ministry and really finding the great joy of having a life that isn't wasted, a life of influence, a life that's making a difference, a life that is fruitful in the lives of others. And that's the heartbeat, whatever God calls them to. God calls some of our students into pastoral ministry, to youth pastoral ministry, to outreach ministry, to worship pastor ministry. Some of them are called into the military chaplaincy. We have a program for that. Some are involved in being a teacher in elementary or secondary education. Some are involved in music ministry or music education. Some are involved in business administration or office professionals and a host of other things. And some of them are going to find God's will in their life in a totally different career. But whatever it is, we want them to understand that that is a platform to make a difference in the lives of people. Because the only things we're taking off this planet is our relationship with God, the Word of God, and the people whose lives we've touched. So no matter what God's called you to, God wants you to be a difference maker. And the great joy of biblical higher education is helping students prepare to do that. Before we move on, I want to just say to you, there was an article that was written by a friend of mine. His name is Steve Henderson. He's a national consultant for education. He wrote an article that was published 2 years ago in Christianity Today. And it was really the core of his thesis of his doctoral studies. In this particular study, he took a large group of students in this study that were from Bible-believing evangelical churches. And he studied what happened to those students, particularly as it relates to their college choice. As they made their college choice, he then followed them through their college years and saw what happened at the end of their 4 to 6 year experience of going to college. He found that in this survey, in this in-depth empirical research that he did, that in the average evangelical church, 85% of young people wind up going to a public university or to a community college or to some other kind of a school that is not Christian education, as he termed it. And he was pretty broad in that. He was talking about Christian liberal arts colleges, Bible colleges. Only 15% made that choice. So 15% of students graduating out of high school and making the choice to go to college, only 15% chose any Christian college at all. Now watch this. Of the 85% then that chose to go to a public university or a community college, of the 85%, 50% of them at the end of their education would not publicly identify themselves as a Christian. 50% of them would say that they were not involved in church. So in that time period, in the key formative years of their life, they were making that decision. Well, you know, there's some wonderful ministries on those campuses, and I'm grateful for every ministry that's reaching university campuses, every church that's making a difference there, every young person that's standing for God on those campuses. But I'm saying, if there's a 50% chance of wiping out spiritually, that is a huge risk to take. Now, there's some great exceptions to that. There's a 50% exception. But I'm thinking, that's why I said to each of my kids, listen, whatever you do, I want you to get a biblical higher education for a part of your education. My son, when he was 14 years old, determined, and we prayed with him and really looked at his gifts and abilities that God had called him to the business world. And that really was affirmed through high school. That was God's call on his life, and I believe that. And I said, listen, I still want you to go to Baptist Bible College for 2 years. And I wasn't the president at that time, I want you to know. I want you to get a biblical higher education for, as a matter of fact, I said 1 year. He wound up going for 2 years and getting his AA degree. Then went on to Davenport College to get his business degree. Went on and got a master's in management, and now he works in the financial world in Dallas, Texas. While he was working on his master's degree, I offered to help him because he was going to school full-time at a master's level, working full-time, and a new baby at home, and life was getting a little bit overwhelming. So I said, Dan, I'm going to fly into Grand Rapids, and I'm going to serve you for a couple of days. I'm going to be your research assistant. I know the library's there. I'm going to go and I'm just going to help you. I'm not going to write your paper, but I'm going to help you and save you some time. One of the greatest joys of my life is to see that paper he wrote because it was on business ethics. And the scriptures were all through them. I said, where did you learn to think like that? I was hoping he's going to say, Dad, your dinner table. Dad, it was sitting under your preaching all those years. He says, no, Dad, it was BBC. It's where I learned to think biblically. I said, do you regret the fact that you spent 2 years there before going out? He says, not on your life. He said, it's made a difference in my life. I've learned to think biblically. Well, let's move on. I want to then talk about our school a little bit and just give you a little bit more background. And I'm excited. I mean, I want you to know I loved being a pastor. It was one of the great joys of my life to be a pastor for 26 years. And you'll probably never meet in your life a more unwilling college president. I never wanted to be a college president. I wanted to just be a pastor. But I got to tell you, 9 years later, as I look back on God's sovereign direction in my life, there was no doubt that he led in our lives, the joy of being a part of this school and seeing the difference and partnering with churches like you. Here's our vision. We are committed to excellence in biblical higher education for effectiveness in global Christian leadership. For us, global means a Great Commission priority, a gospel-centered passion. We're talking about an intercultural ability and an international presence. That's what we mean by global. But let me just talk a little bit about this. Our accreditation. Our school is fully accredited on two levels. First of all, Middle States, which is one of six regional accreditation groups for higher education across the country. And our accreditation does not cause any compromise in terms of our doctrinal or Christian position. We are simply evaluated on standards of excellence based on our commitment and our mission. And we're grateful for that. That holds us to a high standard. We have a second accreditation that's accreditation for biblical higher education, which is a Christian and biblical and theological accreditation. And so we're evaluated on those bases. I think another thing that I'm grateful for is our faculty. All of our faculty have master's degrees. 68% of them have earned doctorates. All of those who teach at our seminary and in our Bible department and our global ministry department have all been pastors or missionaries. Most of the rest of them have had experience in the field in which they teach. I want to tell you, when I ask our students, and I ask them regularly, what do you like about BBC? Number one, the faculty. And then I say, what do you appreciate about them? Two things they answer. Number one, they teach me to think biblically. And number two, they care about me in and out of the classroom. I want to tell you, I tell our faculty that I appreciate them, and we have really outstanding faculty. They're the ones that are making the difference. Again, our biblical core that we're committed to. I'm so grateful. I graduated from this school in 1979, and I've been able to build my life, my family, and my ministry on what I learned from the Word of God there. And I haven't changed my theology. I haven't had to shift from any of it. It was a solid foundation, a solid hermeneutic for the study of Scripture. The programs that we have, in total, we have 38 different programs at the school. The undergraduate level, we have 30. And there's details on each of those programs. We're very, very strong in education, and that is fully accredited by the state of Pennsylvania, which, by the way, the state of Pennsylvania is one of the most difficult states in the entire 50 states to be able to get teacher education. And it can then transfer any place else in the country. And so we're grateful for that program. Pastoral ministry, I mentioned. Some of our newest programs, our worship pastor program, our business administration program, our chaplaincy program, our sports ministry program, the number of new programs like that. We offer not only the AA degree, the two-year degree, the bachelor's degree. We have three master's degrees at our graduate school. One is in biblical counseling. Education with eight different specialties, and then the Master of Arts in Biblical Ministries that is an online degree. At our seminary, we have a Master of Ministry, we have the Master of Divinity, and the THM, the Doctorate of Ministry, and the PhD in Old Testament and New Testament Systematic Theology and Bible Exposition. The PhD or the Doctorate of Ministry are called terminal degrees because it about kills you to get them. They really require a whole lot of study. And we're grateful. Anybody that has a PhD here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Campus life. One of the things that I'm excited about is just the life on our campus. We have 12 dormitories on campus, and you'll not see another college campus that has dorms like ours. They were designed by Dr. Friede Loescher, who served as the VP of student life there for a number of years, 43 years. And they're three stories high. Each one of them has a central, each floor has a central living room, and then four pods, and those pods have three different bedrooms and a bathroom. Every one of those dorms has an RD couple and RAs, and it becomes a sense of community. We have a small group ministry in each of those dorms, and that's a key part of that. We also have a strong athletic program. We're NCAA Division III. We have basketball for men and for women. We have volleyball for both. We have soccer for both. We have softball for the ladies, baseball for the men. We have golf for the men and tennis for the ladies, cross country for both. And that is an opportunity for character development, team development. Each of our coaches are spiritual mentors. One example is our basketball coach, Mike Schau, meets with every one of his athletes every single week to talk about their devotional life, to talk about their dating life and moral purity, to talk about their academic life, to talk about their ministry and what he sees in the need in their character to be shaped into Christ's likeness. It's an exciting program. We also have a number of other campus activities and opportunities with drama, opportunities with music. You'll see our choir here next Sunday night as a part of that. The ministry focus. It's just so thrilling to hear the testimonies of our students when they're seeing lives change in their ministry week after week after week as they're involved in that. And there's a heartbeat for ministry on our campus. We just had our missions conference, and one of those days we sent students out to a number of cities. The theme this year was veracity, taking the truth to the cities. And we had students that are out serving in a number of major cities in our area. Our facilities, you can see some of our campus there. God has really blessed us with a beautiful campus and with the technology. Every classroom is a high-tech learning environment, and we're continually making improvements on the campus. You can see a little bit there. It's probably a little small for you to see, but all of the cream-colored buildings are existing facilities. And the brown ones are planned facilities on our campus master plan. One of the things we're working on right now is a brand new addition to our student center. We've been praying for this and working on this for about 7 years. And God has provided all of the funding through the generosity of Friends of Our School, $4.3 million. It's going to be a 62,000 square foot addition that will have three basketball courts, a running track, a climbing wall, a full stage on one end that we'll use for chapel and for graduation and for our conferences. We have over 4,000 people that come to our campus in the summer for conferences. It'll have classrooms and offices and a major surge area for our students. And this is due. The steel is going to arrive April 15th. We're very, very excited about this. And if you come to BBC as a student, you're going to get to enjoy this as well. Our alumni have served Christ in 47 foreign countries, all 50 states. And they have distinguished themselves as Christ followers and as servants of Jesus Christ. And I'm very, very grateful for our graduates who are humble servants of God in so many different ministries and have made an impact for Christ literally around the world. Millions of people have been impacted by our graduates for the glory of God and the cause of Jesus Christ. Let me talk about affordability. This is a big question that everyone has today about the college education. And I want you to know that we're doing everything we can to make a BBC education as affordable as we can to as many students as want to come. The average cost of tuition for private higher education in the state of Pennsylvania is $26,000. That's the average. There are schools where the tuition is $40,000 in private education. Our room, board, and tuition is $22,000. But no students pay that full price. They're able to get not only the federal grants, they're able to get other scholarships that we make available. In the last few years, during this economic difficulty, we have been aggressively adding financial resources to scholarships to students. If you're shopping in higher education, you're going to find out that one of the terms that's used is the discount rate. Let me explain what that is. The discount rate is the difference between the sticker price of tuition and what the average student actually pays. A few years ago, our discount rate was 13%. We've raised it to 20%. We're going to raise it to 23% this year, and our goal is 29% discount rate. That means that the school is taking responsibility for that much money to help the average student, in addition to whatever money that they bring to the table, whatever other scholarships they have, whatever federal money that they have. I want you to know a BBC education is a lot more affordable than you think it is, and we're going to do everything we can. This year, our vice president of development and I are committed to raising $1 million of money for scholarships for students. It's one of the greatest needs that we have to help every student we can be able to get their education with as low a debt load as possible. So affordability is a part of it. Location. How many of you have ever been to our campus even one time? Okay. I want you to know the rest of you, I'm giving you a presidential invitation to visit if you're ever in our part of the country. And I'm going to show you exactly where we are. Pennsylvania is like a big rectangle. We're up in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania in the beautiful mountain area. Oh, I must have hit something. Can we go? There we go. And that area is just an hour south of Binghamton, New York. We're directly north of the Harrisburg and Lancaster and Philadelphia area. We're an hour from New Jersey. We're only about 2 hours from Manhattan. We're only about 2 hours and 15 minutes from Philadelphia, about 4.5 hours from Boston, and about 6 hours from Washington, D.C. Means that we're right in that major metroplex area. The road system is outstanding. Interstate 81 goes right by our campus. The Pennsylvania Turnpike Extension ends just below our campus, so you can come that way. Interstate 80 is about 45 minutes south of our campus. Interstate 84 goes over to New Jersey from there, and we have a brand new terminal at our airport. You can get there from here. Matter of fact, I'll be flying out this afternoon directly to Allentown because of a little less money, but it's a fairly easy drive, and it's a beautiful, beautiful location. We sit literally on top of a mountain, and as you look at the seasons change. The other day I drove on our campus, and we had a fresh snow, and it was just as absolutely beautiful as can be. A few years ago, we put in a whole new entranceway, and that drive, it blooms literally from late April until October with different flowers and trees, and it's absolutely beautiful, our campus. And so I'd love to have you come and visit and to see for yourself. Our website has a lot of additional information about the school, and if you just remember bbc.edu, you can go on there and get really a huge amount of information about what is going on, some of the conferences that we have for men and our life conference for ladies, the sports camps that we have, our teen leadership conference, our volunteers weeks where people can come who would like to get their hands involved in doing something for God. So great opportunities. One of the things that we have is online education. You can take a class from your computer, an undergraduate class, high school students we invite to take classes at a discount. You can take, if you're a community college student and you'd like to be able to get some biblical education while you're doing that, you can take classes online. We have online classes and distance learning classes in the master's level at our grad school and seminary. You can get almost a full master of divinity now, totally online from our class and from our campus. And this is quality education. They just do a great job with that. So you can learn about that by going to our website. Let me just take some time, and there may be a couple of questions that you have, and hopefully I'll have an answer for you. Any questions from anyone about what we've talked about biblical higher education, about the ministry of our school? Be delighted to answer your questions. Yes? The educational discount in terms of the price? You go right onto the website, and we have some calculators right there that can give you the information. And the other way is to actually work with one of our counselors, because they're there to serve prospective students and to say, how can we help you accomplish your goals in education? And you'll find a real servant attitude on their part, and our financial aid officers are ready to be able to help you. Most people don't really understand how much money can be made available. The other thing that's been true in our area, and I didn't mention this, because of the great testimony of our students in our community, employers in the area want to hire our students for part-time jobs. And there's been stories that our students have shared with me. They went to apply for a job, and they said, "We're not hiring, but what college are you from?" "I'm from Baptist." "Listen, give us your name. We're interested in you." And they get hired. Even though they're saying, "We're not hiring," they want to hire our students. And I have employers tell me personally, "We wish your school was here, students were here 12 months of the year, because we can't find students like that with the attitude and the character and the work ethic, and they're not involved in alcohol and drugs, and they really show up at work with a great attitude." So because of that, there's job opportunities that are there as well to help supplement. And frankly, when I was a student, I was glad that I was involved in working off campus, because it gave me a chance to be involved in evangelism. Other questions? Yes, sir. We have a number of older people that are taking classes online, and we have some on campus. And so there are great opportunities to be able to do that. Our Master of Arts in Biblical Ministries in our grad school is really designed for a person to say, "Hey, I'm not necessarily heading for a new career, but I want to study the Bible, and I'd like to be prepared for greater effective ministry in the local church." And we'll tailor that program to meet your needs. Master of Arts in Biblical Ministries. Great opportunities. And by the way, I love your question, because we ought to be lifelong learners as followers of Jesus Christ. We ought to never stop learning. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, high school students can take classes online at our undergraduate level, and we encourage them to get involved. If you go online, you'll actually see the information about that. That is something new we've just launched this year. And high school students can take college classes, and they get college credit. So they're really getting advanced standing. And frankly, I don't know what's true for your high schools here, but the senior year in high school is usually a very light year academically in most high schools. And frankly, then it's culture shock when they hit a campus. And for any of you that are thinking of going to any college, I want you to know, college isn't summer camp. It's called college for a reason. And for some college students, it takes them a full semester to wake up to the fact you're here to study, and mom and dad aren't going to make you study. You've got to be responsible. So actually, if you can, in your senior year of high school, be taking some classes, it's actually going to prepare you and help you to study at that level and to think at that level. Okay? Yes. Well, everybody majors in Bible and then has a second major. So they will have a Bible major plus the specialty that they're focusing on. We're actually in the process of changing the degree name. We're working with the state of Pennsylvania on that, so it actually winds up being a dual degree. But our degrees are recognized in education, and they're fully accredited, for instance, in the state of Pennsylvania. Okay, other questions? Well, thank you very much. It's been a delight to be able to share with you. I'm going to make my way out to the table for just a few minutes, if I can do that, Pastor. And then if you would like to pick up some literature or hear some more about the school, have some other questions, I'd be glad to be able to help you.